Genesis account. The Genesis account, that should be the first book in your Bible. Continuing with our theme, our extraordinary God delights in using ordinary people like you and me. We're going to be looking at today, if we're going to be utilized by God, we must recognize when He is calling us. Got to recognize when He's calling. Nothing worse than calling somebody and they don't respond. Amen. You ever been there before? You're calling somebody and everybody is looking but that person that you're calling. Amen. And you're like, get him right there. Children are notorious for that. Moms are calling, hey, so-and-so, come. And everybody, get him. Amen. My mother would call me and then finally when I come over, she'd pop me on the back and say, boy, you heard me calling you. Amen. So we've got to recognize the call, amen. The extraordinary call to ordinary people is the title of the message. The extraordinary call to ordinary people, amen. Genesis chapter number 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. And I will have you join in with me here in just a minute, amen, probably starting at verse number 4. I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, you join in with me down to verse 7. Here we go. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Join in with me in verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together as we consider the extraordinary call to ordinary people. Lord, you as our extraordinary God, you delight in using ordinary people like us, and help us to be aware the fact that when you do call, we have got to recognize your voice and then, Lord, go where you would have us to go and do what you would have us to do, to see what you would have us to see. Lord, thank you so much for using your word to call us and to help of that man, that woman, that boy or girl today that's never been called to salvation, recognize the call to be saved, and then the rest of us, Lord, the call to serve a holy God in an extraordinary way. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless now the next moments we have in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated.
All the world is longing to know security. All the world is listening, trying to hear words they can believe. But there is only one. Truth we can hold on to forever, He remains the same. Oh, I want you to know that God's love never changes, His love never fails, is shaken, we could put our faith in knowing that His love will never change. Never separated, never far away. The price He paid. Oh, I want you to see that God's love never changes. His love never fails. When the world is shaken, we can put our faith in knowing that His love will.
You're glad God loves never changes, amen. I mean, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've been, God's love never changes. It's always the same, amen. I love that song, always the same. Jesus never changes. He's always the same, amen. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that special message and song. God's love never changes. Amen. Well, with that said, we do have an extraordinary God that we are looking to allow us to be used by Him. Amen. And what a blessing. I'm going to continue our theme. And again, the theme is up here, extraordinary God, Genesis 17:1. We looked at that last week. He said, I am the Almighty God to Abraham. Then over here, an ordinary people that He wants to use, Exodus 3:14. God told Moses, I am that I am. He said, tell him I am has sent you, sent me to you. Amen. By the way, when it comes to I am, He says, I can be what I want to be and I will be what I need to be. Amen. By the way, whatever you need God to be, that's what He will be. Amen. Now, I don't care where you go or what you do. God can be what He needs to be for you. And it matters not what you need Him to be. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What did David need? A shepherd. Amen. Why? All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. So we need God in our lives. Amen. And so the extraordinary God wants to use ordinary people like you and me. By the way, there is no extraordinary person alive. Amen. We're all ordinary people. We all have flesh. We all have blood. We all have bones. We all have weaknesses. We all have vulnerabilities. And with that, God still wants to use us. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're looking out across humanity, you would pick probably the rich people. You would probably pick the sports figures. You probably pick the famous people. You would probably pick the well-to-do people who would never pick you. Amen. And that's the way we are. God does it just the opposite. He picks the people who normally wouldn't be picked, amen. He picked a little shepherd boy named David. He picked a little man named Moses out of the Nile River there so he wouldn't get eaten by crocodiles and raise him up, and he used him. He used people like Abraham, who's out there serving idols and devils, and used him. Amen. He'll use someone like me who's a previous alcoholic and a drug addict and all these other things and still use them to preach the gospel. Why? God delights in using ordinary people. Why? He's an extraordinary God. And he wants to use us. We looked at several things last week, and just by way of introduction, let me refresh your memory. We looked at our direction for this year. And I said throughout this year, we'll look at ordinary people like you and me in the Bible being used by an extraordinary God. Then I said this, our design for this year with our direction. Why does God want to use us? Because we're uniquely made in his image and in his likeness. Hallelujah and praise God. We're uniquely made in his image and his likeness, and we're uniquely made under the angels of God. Amen. And so we've got our direction for this year. We got our design for this year. And our duty for the year then is, what can God do through me? What can God do through me? By the way, don't second guess yourself. God wants to use you. You say, but what can I do? I don't know. What can you do? I can tell you what you can't do. There's nothing you can't do with the power of God. With the power of God, all things are possible. He said, I am the God of the impossible. Mary said, how shall this be? I know not a man. He said, with God, all things are possible. So don't look at what you have. Amen. Look at who God is. Amen. Because that's what matters, who God is. And he is the great I am. I am that I am. Amen. Extraordinary, we saw last week, means good or impressive, going beyond what is usual. It is more than the ordinary. It's exceptional, and it is rare, and it is phenomenal, and it is very uncommon. That is what extraordinary means. Ordinary, on the other hand, means something that's normal, something that's usual, standard, typical, common, like you and me. It's routine, amen? There's nothing special about it. You say, well, I can bench press 500 pounds. I'll show you somebody that can bench press 501. Well, I can jump 100 feet. I'll show you someone that can jump 101 feet. Whatever you can do, there's somebody that can one-up you, amen. Why do you think the Guinness Book of World Records is always getting broken? Because there's always somebody that's going to come up and do one-up more than you, amen. So if you eat 100 hot dogs, Braswell, I eat 101, amen. Joshua, if you eat 100 pieces of candy, I'll eat 101, amen. There's always going to be somebody that can one-up you, amen. I'll eat 500 popsicles. How many can y'all eat? 501, amen. Somebody can always one-up you, amen. We're common people. And God wants to use us for extraordinary purposes, amen. And so if we ordinary people are going to be used for extraordinary purposes through the will and the word of God, you and I have got to recognize the call of God, amen. We've got to recognize the call. You look at Moses, he recognized the call. Jonah recognized the call, but he ran, amen. Isaiah recognized the call. He said, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Use me. Amen. Send me. On and on we can go about characters that recognize the call. And Abraham did too. Recognizing the call of God is the first step that God wants to use you for. Amen. If he does not get your attention, he cannot use you. Amen. At least he won't be able to use you with your knowledge. Amen. By the way, God can use you without you even knowing it. Amen. Rose mentioned how she had given out a tract to someone and some money. God could have used her without her even knowing that she was being used by him. Amen. You help a stranger, God could be using you without you even knowing it. Praise God. Let's talk about some things here today, because when God calls you, he always calls you to something good. Joshua, come here for a second. Now, Joshua recognizes that it's me calling him. And G2, I want you to come here as well. Now, Joshua has recognized my call because he is my son, and he recognizes my voice. Am I right, Joshua? Yes, he does. Amen. No, you got your crutches, don't you? All right, Terrell, you come up here for a second here. And I want you to have to hurt yourself coming up here. Amen. Now, Terrell recognizes my voice as well because I'm his pastor, and he hears me preaching all the time. All right? Now, would I call y'all to do something that's going to hurt you? No, I would never do something like that. Amen. So, Joshua, I've got something that I want you to do for me. I want you to go to that drawer there and pull out, and there's a brown box in there. Bring me that brown box. Terrell, I want you to go over here into this drawer and bring the blue box in that. Now, what am I doing? They have recognized my call, and I'm sending them on an errand to do something in that little drawer right there. Amen. There you go. should be a box in there. Bring me that box here. Amen. Now, Joshua has bought me some goobers, amen. Those aren't good for Joshua, amen. Terrell has bought me some M&Ms. Those aren't good for Terrell either, amen. And so I'm going to switch them up because Joshua doesn't like peanuts, but I know he likes milk chocolate, amen. You like milk chocolate, don't you, amen? Now, how did you get this milk chocolate? First of all, you had to recognize my call. And when he recognized my call, what did he have to do? He had to come. And when he recognized my call and he came, what did I do? I sent him on an errand to do something for me. And when he went to go do something for me, what happened? He found a box of goodies. Wow. Did I tell him there was going to be some goodies there? But he knows that what I sent him to get is not going to be something harmful for him. Well, this could hurt your son if you don't brush your teeth. Amen. So I'm going to give him these. Now, Carell, do you like peanuts? Let me see, if you don't, I know Terrell probably, your dad probably does, amen. And so Terrell did the same thing. Terrell had to recognize my call. And now G2 is just mad that he hurt his ankle and he couldn't come up here and get this, amen, because he could have ate this as well. Terrell recognized my voice. When he recognized my voice, he said, there's a call coming. Pastor wants to use me, and he wants to use me to do something. I sent him on the same errand. He opens the drawer. He comes back. I said, when you find that box, bring it to me, amen. Now, neither one of them knew that I was going to give this to them, amen. Joshua saw these on my desk earlier. He said, are these free? No, they're not for free. You got to work for that, amen. And he worked for it. Now he's got his reward. So, Terrell, those are for you. I appreciate your help. Amen. But what am I doing here? Demonstrating the call must be recognized. And when the call is recognized, God's going to send you on an errand to do something for him. And when he sends you to do something for him, it's always going to be something that's going to make it better for you or for somebody else. Amen. Or both. And in the end, you're going to be the recipient of a blessing from an extraordinary God, if you as an ordinary person would just submit to what he wants you to do. Thank you. Give them a hand, amen. Appreciate y'all's help. And so when we look down through the pages of Scripture, God always had a man, a woman, or a boy or girl that was called to do something, amen. So if we as ordinary people are going to be used of God for extraordinary things, we have got to recognize God's call, amen. By the way, God always calls us to do something for our good and his glory, amen. So when our extraordinary God calls ordinary people, number one, the call of God must be recognized. Go down to Genesis chapter number 12 in your Bibles there. Notice this. The call must be recognized. The Lord had said unto Abram. The Lord had said unto Abram, if the Lord says something to someone, somebody's got to do some listening, amen? If you do no listening, you're not going to hear what he said. God said unto Abraham, he said, I want you to get away from everything that you know. And so, number one, the call of God must be recognized. Well, wait a minute. The call has got to be recognized from amongst any place you might be. Notice what he says there. He says, get thee out of thy what? Country. And so the call's got to be recognized when it comes amongst all the places that you may be. Amen. Hey, by the way, Moses was serving devils and God, not the real God. The Bible clearly says that. And so he said, look, the call is coming to you in a place that's not a good place. Amen. And so the call is coming amongst places that you and I may be. He says, thy country. Amen. By the way, you ever been someplace and somebody called you and you know nobody should know you where you're at? I've been there before. And someone said, Brother Dawson. I'm thinking, who knows me here? Glad I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing. And they said, Brother Dawson, you don't remember me. And I'm looking, no. They said, you were preaching at the camp up in Prescott Pines and I was there and I heard you speak. And I'm thinking, I don't know you from Adam. Because no one should have known me where I was at. And the call came to me and I said, whoa. But you know what? I recognized the call. And I recognized that this person knows who I am. And this person actually used to cut my son's hair when he was a little kid. Amen. And I said, whoa. How did you recognize me? Well, how could you not recognize me? Amen. Ain't many people look like me. Amen. And so the call has got to be recognized even amongst places that you go. By the way, hey, God may call you from some demonic places. God may call you from some drinking places. God may call you from some drug places. Amen. God doesn't care where you're at. He can call you wherever you're at, in the deepest pit of sin or on the highest mount of success. God can call you. He knows your address. He knows where you live, and he can call you, but you've got to recognize that he's calling you. I dare say many nights when I was in the club drinking and things like that, I knew that God was speaking to me, and God was saying, you ought not be here, boy. You ought not be doing this, doing drugs. Boy, you ought not be here. Boy, you ought not be doing this. I recognized the call, but I didn't do anything about it. I didn't respond. But oh, get me in the house of God and get me under the sound of the gospel. And I could not resist the call. I recognized it that day, February 3rd, 1991. I didn't resist that call. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved me, even though I had been in demonic places and drug places and drinking places and pits of hell. Even though I had been at my lowest, he still called me. And that extraordinary God said, you may be an ordinary person, but I want to use you, son. I want to clean your life up, son. I want you to recognize who this is that's calling you. God, the call of God must be recognized. The call was recognized from amongst places that he had to be called from. Not only that, call has got to be recognized from amongst people sometimes. Notice what he says down there. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, the place, and from thy kindred. What is that? The people. And from thy father's house. What is that? The people. Amen. Sometimes you're going to be around some helpful people, and God's going to say, get away from them. Sometimes you're going to be around some hindering people, God's going to say, get away from them. Amen. Sometimes you're going to be around some helpless people, and God's going to say, get away from them. I'm going to change you and send you back to help them. Amen. Hey, by the way, I was the one that led my dad to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and praise God. With all the help he tried to give me, he could not give me spiritual help. Why? He didn't have Christ himself. But when God helped me, God sent me back to help him who was helpless when it came to Christ. Amen. What am I saying? God wants to use us. The call's got to be recognized. And sometimes we've got to come from amongst places and come from amongst people. And the call's got to be recognized no matter the person is helpful, no matter the people are hindering, no matter the people are helpless. God may call you and I, and the call's got to come, and we've got to recognize the call. Why? God's got some extraordinary things he wants to do in our lives. What did he tell Abraham when he called him? When the call was recognized, he says, unto a land that I will show thee. He said, now I'm going to send you someplace. And I'll show you when you get there. Joshua was shown something. He didn't see it until he got there. When he got there, what'd you say, Joshua? Ooh, goodness. Terrell didn't know until he got there. Could have been a mousetrap in there. But he knew I wasn't going to do that to him. But when he got there, it was shown to him. And I know Terrell's probably thinking, I wonder. Would Pastor bring me up here to not give this to me? Yeah, he would do that. But guess what? He didn't do that. What did it say down there? He said, no. The call is going to come to you. And you got to recognize it, Abraham, amongst the places that you are, your country, amongst the people that you're there, your kindred. And he said, I'm going to show you something. He said, you know when you get there, a land that I will show thee. See, folks, first of all, if you and I are going to be called to use by an extraordinary God as ordinary people, we got to recognize God's calling. By the way, maybe he's calling you today to be saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you died right now, you're not sure that heaven is your home. You want to go to heaven. You think about heaven. But as you are right now, you're not 100% sure. God could be calling you right now to be saved. You don't know. Hey, folks, when I came in that church that day, February 3rd, 1991, I came and sat down in that chair. I didn't know if I was going to heaven. Oh, I wanted to go. Oh, I thought I was going. I was baptized. I went to Catholic church. I went to Catholic school. I had ashes on my head. I was sprinkled. I was baptized. I was all those things. But I was still lost. Coming in that church, I was wondering if I'm really saved. If I die, am I really going to heaven? And the Holy Spirit told me, no, you're not, son. I said, surely there must be something good that I've done. Surely there must be something extraordinary I've done, but everything that I did, anybody else could do. Anybody can get baptized. Anybody can give to the church. Anybody can sing in the choir. Anybody can read the Bible. Anybody can read scriptures. Anybody can play, pray, now I lay me down to sleep. But not anybody can offer you eternal life through an extraordinary God. Only God can do that. Everybody else is just ordinary people, just like me. But God had to offer me something that nobody else could offer me. Eternal life through an extraordinary power. February 3rd, 1991, I got saved. Why? I recognized the call. I was among some countries, some places. I was among some people, some kindred, amen. And God said, I want to use you, son, but you've got to first respond. And I responded. Call's got to be recognized amongst possibilities as well, not just people and places, possibilities. We've got to get away from the possibilities of what could be into the realm of what will be if I surrender to God. Amen. There's a whole lot of possibilities of what could be. Well, you know, if I go to school, I could be this. Well, you know, if I try hard enough, I could be this. Well, if I shoot fast enough, I could be this. Well, if I study long enough, I may be able to do this. And God says, don't look at the possibilities of what could be, what might be. I've got the positivity of what will be. Hallelujah. God said, come unto me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, ain't no possibilities. When you come to me, I know what I want to do with your life. I know what I can do with my extraordinary power. There is no could be or would be or might be with God. There's only a will be. Praise God. But I've got to come to him. I've got to recognize him. God says, I'm not interested in your possibilities. I'm interested in my perpetuality, amen. What will be, and what can be, and what continues to be with my power. I'm not saying the call of God must be recognized. The call may be recognized, must be recognized amongst places, amongst people, amongst possibilities. But then when our extraordinary God calls ordinary people, not only the call of God must be recognized, but our conduct must be real. Notice down there in verse number 3. He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And these shall all families of the earth be blessed. He said, that's what I'm going to do for you. That's what will be. But then notice verse 4. The conduct must be real. So Abraham departed, as the Lord said. He took off. He went. He said, I'm out of here. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. What am I saying? Our conduct must be real. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And what? Lean not unto thine what? Own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge who? Him. And he shall what? Direct thy path. My conduct must be real. Our conduct must be real once the call is recognized. We must trust while we're launching out. It says Abraham departed. By the way, God is more reliable than GPS. He's more up to date than Google Maps. I Googled this church the other day, and it still showed my white car out front. I don't have that white car no more. It died. It gave up the ghost. But guess what Google Maps still shows? That white car. I Googled our home. My red car still shows up. Guess what? I don't have that red car no more. But guess what Google Maps shows up? God's more reliable than GPS. He's more reliable than Google Maps. Amen. They'll lead you straight. My wife had Apple Maps. We thought, ooh, we got the high speed stuff now. Apple Maps. That thing led us astray. Had us going somewhere. Got lost her than a goose. Amen. If we'd have followed that thing. I said, we can't follow that thing. And then, you know, when Apple messes up, it makes you second guess Google. It makes you second guess Samsung. You're thinking, if Apple ain't got it right. Come on now, we got issues here. Apple's supposed to be at the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, amen. If they have a bad map, then I can't trust Samsung. I can't trust LG or AB or MOUSE, amen. I can't trust none of them, amen. They're all out there. I'm so glad I can trust God, though. God's better than GPS. He's better than Google Maps. He's better than Apple phone maps and all the rest of that stuff. What am I saying? Our conduct must be real. We've got to launch out trusting God. Notice what he says down there again in verse number 4. Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. Where are you going, Moses, or Noah? Noah, Abraham, all these Genesis characters, amen. Notice the chapter, the end of chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Unto a land that I will show you. I don't know where we're going. I just know I'm going. Can you imagine husbands telling your wife we're going? And she say, where are we going? I don't know. But we're going. God's going to show us when we get there. Well, honey, he said, unto a land that I will show thee, but we got to launch out first. Where are we going? Don't know. Is it north? Uh-huh. South? Uh-huh. East? Uh-huh. West? Uh-huh. Which direction is it? I don't know, but I'm just going to go, and God's going to tell me go left. He's going to tell me go right. He's going to tell me go left. He's going to tell me go this way. And when I get there, he'll say, you have arrived. You would be, your wife would probably hit you with a frying pan. You have lost your senses. Not if you're walking with God, she won't. Not if you're listening to God, she won't. She may be a little curious last two. He has been acting kind of strange lately. He has been on his knees a little long lately. He has been praying a little bit more than normal lately. He has been in that Bible a little bit longer than normal lately. He's gotten a hold of God. Amen. Let's go. Abraham departed, it said in verse number 4. He departed. What am I saying? We must launch out trusting God knows what he's doing. Amen. But then we must launch out without looking back. Amen. We got to trust God without looking back. Hey, last time I checked, Genesis chapter 19, there's a man by the name of Lot who was told to get out of Sodom. And the angel said, get out, don't look back. Last time I heard, Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Got to launch out without looking back, amen. Don't look back at what you left. Don't look at it and say, well, look at what I left, amen. Don't look at all those things that you left behind and as you're launching out to say, God, I'm going forward for you. You're an extraordinary God. You got some great things for me. As ordinary people, I'm going to launch out. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to look back. I'm just going to launch out. I'm not going to be worried about what I left behind. The New Testament version of that, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What am I saying here? Our conduct must be real. We got to launch out. Abram departed. The call must be recognized. Then thirdly, when extraordinary God calls ordinary people, the call must be recognized, the conduct must be real, but then our company must be reckoned with. Our company must be reckoned with. Notice verse number 4. Reckon means to settle it up. Make sure you understand what you have. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And notice this, Lot went with him. Lot, if you're going to go with me, then you better reckon what kind of situation we're going to run into. Notice down in verse number 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife. Now Sarah, we're going here. And so you need to understand something. I don't have a fixed destination just yet. He says down there, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance. So Sarah, you need to know what's going on. Lot, you need to know what's going on. All the servants in the household, y'all need to know what's going on. They that had gathered all the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. He had to sit them down and say, look, let's reckon something. Y'all going to be in my company? Let me tell you something here. This is what it's going to be like. And to tell you something, when you get saved, you may not know what's going on, but when God says go, guess what? You got to be ready to launch out. You got to be ready to launch out. Hey, my wife and I got saved. My wife knows I don't do anything halfway. I go all the way. If I'm going to get saved, I'm going to get saved, and if we're going to live for God, we're going to live for God. We're going to do right. We're going to do right. And I started getting rid of everything. Started chucking all kind of stuff out. This is where we're going. I started going to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, men's meetings, visitation. I'll start going to everything. My wife said, glory to God, you're in church all the time. And she was just mad because she couldn't be in church. She was in school. I said, I'm going. And guess what? After a while, she's like, look, I'm throwing my lot in with you. I'm going too. Bust for that school stuff. She told her teacher, look, I'm going to church. Teacher said, well, you're going to get doctor grade. She said, I just had to get doctor grade. I'm going to church. Guess what? She got better grade than she got when she was there. What is that? Extraordinary God? Amen. Wish that worked for me. Amen. I need all the school I can get. Amen. I ain't get nothing. Amen. My wife said, hey, look, the house of God is more important, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is more important than going to school. Amen. What am I saying here? Our company must be reckoned with when our extraordinary God calls ordinary people. Everybody should be on board for the ride if they're going to go with you. Amen. Y'all don't seem too convinced with that.
Everybody needs to be on board if they're going to be in your company. The company's got to be reckoned with. Hey, he had to turn and say, look, Lot, if you're going with me, this is what's going to happen. Hey, as a matter of fact, what happened as the road went on? Lot separated himself from Abraham. Why? I don't believe he was always fully on board. He found something that attracted his eye down in Sodom. He said, whoo, that looked like Egypt. Whoo, that's well watered. Whoo, look what they got going on over there. Whoo, look at that. Whoo, whoo. One. Pitch my tent so I can see Sodom. Abraham said, you go that way, I'm going that way. I'm getting as far away from Sodom as I can. The next thing you know, next thing you know, Lot's sitting at the gate. He's an official now. All right, I'm in charge of what goes on in Sodom. God had to get him out of there and get his family out of there. Why? He wasn't on board. When he went out with Lot. Sarah went with him. The households went, but you find Lot separating down the road and separating into Sodom. Why? His heart was in Sodom, not in selling out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? When you hear the voice of God, the call is recognized. When the conduct is real, amen, your company must be reckoned with. They need to know where you stand. Our company must be aware of potential choices. Amen. You're going to have to say yes to God and no to the world. Amen and amen. Hey, I get asked the question all the time. Daddy, why don't we and why can't we? Because God said we ought not do that. Hey, why? That's what God said. Look what happened to Sodom. Look what happened to these folks. Amen. If God said it, that settles it. It's over. The company must be reckoned with. Choices. Hold your finger there. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Because Moses had the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11. If we're going to be called by an extraordinary God to do some extraordinary things, we as ordinary people are going to have to make some choices. Our company must be aware of potential choices. Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse number 24. The Bible says down there, verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Was that a choice? Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Was that a choice? What am I saying? Our company must beware of potential choices. I know most of y'all seen the Cecil B. DeMille's movie when Moses makes the choice to leave Nefertiti and goes out there. And she comes to him. He said, look, I made a choice to be with my people and my God. Now, I ain't saying all that's accurate, amen, but it's a good Hollywood movie, amen. And so he made a choice. He said, look, I'll go step in these mud pits. I'll go out here with these slaves because I am one. This is my people. I'm making a choice. Hey, what am I saying? When you and I recognize the call of God, when we understand it's got to be some real conduct, we've got to reckon with those that are going with us and say, this is the choice that we're faced with, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, notice this, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for how long? For a season. Lot enjoyed some pleasures of sin for a season. But Lot lost his wife. Lot lost his two daughters to immorality. Last time I checked, those two daughters were enemies of Israel. Wow, Ammon and the Moabites, enemies of Israel. Our country must be aware of the potential choices. We have to say yes to God, no to the world. Moses said no. Why, Moses? Notice verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. He said the reproach that I go through is greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It's better. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. He said, down the road, I'm going to get more than what Egypt could ever offer me. What am I saying here? He had to understand there's going to be some potential choices. Abraham had to get them and said, look, God's called me to go to a place. I don't know where I'm going, but Sarah, you got to be on board. Lot, you've got to be on board. Household, y'all got to be on board. Because if you're not on board, you might as well stay where you're at because I'm going. And guess what? He went. And God blessed. Amen. What am I saying? When you're on board with God, an extraordinary God, you don't have to worry about where you're going and what you're doing, but the people that's coming with you better be on board with what's going on. Amen. As an ordinary person, because if they're not on board, they might get left behind. Amen. And I know sometimes you have no choice You get saved and maybe you're the wife and your husband's not coming, or vice versa, or your children don't want to come. I understand that, but I tell you, God will bless. God will bless if you just trust him. I know somebody may not want to come along, but you got to say, look, you cannot stop my service for God. You cannot stop me serving my extraordinary God. God's going to bless me, and I want to be blessed. I want to be used of him. And so sometimes I know it's not easy. It's not an easy choice. Our company must be aware of the potential choices, but our company must be aware also of the potential challenges. I may have to go without luxury, amen. He's on the move. He's got a tent. He's got no stable home. He's got no stable dwelling place, amen. Without luxury, amen. I may have to go without looking. He said, I'm going to a place I don't know where I'm going. May have to go with less. I'm sure he probably had to downsize to continue to go, amen. So I may have to go without luxury. I may have to go with less, amen. I may have to go without looking, amen. I may have to go alone sometimes. I had to go alone. I remember a teenager that I taught once upon a time, and this teenager got a hold of the word of God, and her family was involved in wickedness. And she said, they want me to join in with this wickedness. And she said, I don't want to join in with that wickedness. I said, well, you need to go and talk to your father and tell your father you feel very uncomfortable with this wickedness that's going on. I said, when that wickedness comes up, ask him if you can be excused from that wickedness. I said, but if you go along with it and don't say anything, I said, your conscience is going to be seared. I said, you've got to take a stand. I said, now, if your parents override you, no, that's one thing. I said, but you have to go and make a choice. What the Bible said? That it defiled himself not. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Therefore, he what? Requested that he might not defile himself. Sometimes you're going to have some challenges. And you're going to be in a situation where everybody's doing it, and you're going to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to smoke it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to go for it. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be around that. Sometimes the choices and the challenges we have to be aware of, and when people go with us, they need to know that. It may be without luxury. It may be without looking. It may be with less. It may be alone. Last time I checked, I don't hear Abram going back and say, are y'all all approved in that? Everybody involved, say aye. Okay, it's unanimous. We can go and follow God. No, it's not unanimous. This is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. God's in charge. And if God said it, that settles it. And everybody's not going to always be on board with that, amen? And so some choices have to be made, some challenges that may be up ahead. There may be some potential changes of direction, changes in dwelling, changes in duties. Moses went from leading the people to being the judge at the same time. Joshua went from the general to being the judge and the general. David went from keeping the sheep to being on the run from Saul to being the next king in Israel after he was a king over a few men and then over a little nation, then over the whole nation. Duties may change. Dwellings may change. Directions may change. Some people don't like moving. I don't like moving. I don't like packing. And I don't like unpacking. I don't mind moving. I'll move any day. Amen. Just long as somebody pack and unpack for me, I'm good to go. Hang that stuff back up on the wall, amen, because I like my stuff level, spaced out, even. Some of y'all like that too, I know, amen. Got to be 6 inches apart, 12 inches above the ground. I love them, amen. Gotten worse in my old age. It doesn't happen all the time, amen. What am I saying here? The company must be aware of potential choices, potential challenges, and potential changes. Challenges without luxuries, without looking, with less, and sometimes alone. Changes of direction, dwelling, and duties. I may not do the same things that I used to do. It's changed. By the way, I don't do what I used to do in the military. There was a change. God said, I'm changing your duties. You're not going to be looking at computers all day. Hallelujah. Now you're going to be looking at the Word of God and people. You're going to be studying. You're going to be going out trying to win people. You're going to be visiting. You're going to be doing these things. And like you, I need an extraordinary God. I'm not good at that. I'm just ordinary people. I don't mind being by myself tucked up in my little cave. I don't mind that. And God says, but you got an extraordinary God, so you're going to come out of that. I'm going to see to that. And sometimes there's some changes. But you know what? When God calls, and we're recognizing it,
And when our conduct is real and we depart and step out, we launch out without looking back. And our company is reckoned with, they understand the choices, the challenges, and the changes. Our commitment will be rewarded. Come down to verse number 7, chapter 12 of Genesis, Genesis 12, 7. God says, I'm not going to send you out just to do anything. I'm going to reward you. Notice Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He got him to the place. He said, look, now look where you're at right now. He said, and I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. Matter of fact, he tells him at one point, just look around. I'm going to give it all to you. Give it all to you. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. I will make of thee, what? A great nation. I will what? Bless thee. And what? And make thy name great. Only God can do that. And thou shalt be a what? A blessing. What else you going to do, God? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Oh, glory to God. Do we need that? We're so busy trying to curse people. And we're trying to get back and trying to get even. And trying to do this and do that. God said, don't worry about that. I got your back. I got you covered. You don't worry about them folk. By the way, God can do a whole better job than you ever could do. He said, those folks that's good to you, I'll be good to them. Those that's bad to you, oh, they will wish they was never bad to you. And sometimes they think back about you. And they think, man, I shouldn't have messed with that person. I think their God's on my case right now. And I think he's a little angry at me. And you say, get him, God. Why? God can do that. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Notice verse 3 at the end, and in thee shall how many families? All families of the earth be blessed. From one little old ordinary person named Abraham, the Bible says, shall all families of the what? Earth be blessed. That's an extraordinary God giving a humongous blessing to an ordinary person. He said, because you obey and because you recognize, because you went out with some real conduct and because you reckoned with people and said, look, this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to bless the whole earth because of you. By the way, the New Testament says that you and I, Abraham is our father. He's the father of us all in Romans 4:16 that believe. When we talk about Abraham's family was going to be multiplied, he's going to be the father of many nations, according to verses 2 and 3. Abraham's faith was multiplied and Abraham's finances were multiplied. Go over one chapter, Genesis 13, in verse number 2. Genesis 13, 2. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And that economy, as the phrase goes, you was living large. That was big. It didn't say he was rich. It says he was very rich. That's like someone saying, you good. Then somebody saying, you very good. By the way, when he created everything, Jesus, God said, it's very good. It wasn't just good, it was very good. That means it's better than good. It says Abraham was not just rich, he was very rich. That's better than rich. Now, I don't know about you, if you had your choice between rich and very rich, my hand would go up for the very rich crowd. You want to be rich or you want to be very rich? Let me think about that. Very rich. You want to be poor or very poor? Just poor. But when it comes to rich or very rich, very rich. I want to be very rich. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. What am I saying? Abram's family was multiplied. He was the one that blessed the whole earth. His faith was multiplied. His finances were multiplied. You know why? He was called by an extraordinary God as an ordinary person. And God extraordinarily used him to bless the whole entire world. Now, our commitment to God's extraordinary power may not bring finances. may not make us very rich. We may not have a huge family. Some of y'all would probably say amen to that. But it will definitely increase our faith. By the way, a huge family back in this time meant that you were very, very blessed of God. A big family meant you were blessed of God. Why do you think that when Jacob had Rachel and Leah, Rachel was so desperate to have children? Because having children meant you were blessed. Not to have children meant you were cursed. And the more kids you had, the bigger you were blessed of God. Now, we don't seem to embrace that nowadays. But that's what it meant back then. And so you and I may not have finances and a huge family, but following God will definitely increase our faith. It will definitely give us fullness of blessings being in God's will. What might it do, preacher? God's reward for our commitment may be a new career with better wages and better pay. It may be a new ministry that God wants us to have. It may be increased resources that we never thought we had. It may be a fulfilled dream that you thought was just a dream. It may be getting someone saved, seeing someone saved. It could be limitless. The one thing I want us to recognize is that before God showed up, Abraham didn't know any of that. Before God shows up in your life, you don't know what he's going to do. You really don't. You're just an ordinary person like Abraham. You have not a clue, but you've got to recognize his call. And you've got to be real in your conduct when he calls you to come out. And you've got to reckon with the company that you keep and say, look, God's called me. I've got to go. Why? There's a reward that God wants to commit to your trust for your faithfulness when you step out. Everybody might not always agree. Everybody may not always be on board. The last time I checked, me and God's majority. God has a way of working things out. That's his job. Your job is just to follow. Don't worry about the details. Well, Lord, what are they going to say when I come to them? Tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. That went over real good too, didn't it? Because God gave him some things to show when he went. Throw that rod down there. Watch it become a serpent. Stick your hand in your shirt. Watch it come out leprous as white as snow. Stick it back in. Watch it go away. Pick that rod up. Watch it turn back into a rod. That'd make my eyes pop out real quick. Stick that staff down there and watch that water turn to blood. Made me a believer already. What am I saying? We just have to recognize the call. Be real in our conduct and step out. Reckon with our company. Say, look, I'm following God no matter what happens. God gives rewards down the road. I said this last week and I'll say it again this week. One of the most extraordinary things about God is that he loves you and I as sinners. Even though we're ordinary people, we're made in the image of God and his likeness and his image. And we're uniquely made below the angels. And because of that, we have a free choice. And God has a free choice too. And he chooses to love us. And he chooses to offer us salvation. An extraordinary God is offering you and I salvation. He's not offering to make you rich like Abraham in cattle and silver and gold, but he's offering to make you rich in glory. Eternal life is something that you cannot buy. Peace is not something that you can buy. Happiness is going along with happenings, but joy cometh from the Lord. If you never experienced the extraordinary saving power of God today, he wants to save you today. He's calling you. No matter if you're amongst drugs, no matter if you're amongst drinking, no matter if you're amongst this dwelling of unsaved people, no matter how deep in sin you are, he's calling. Hey, folks, February 3rd, 1991, I was probably as low as I could get, and God still called me. And he said, if you want to get out of that situation, come unto me, and I'll help you out. I'll show you what you've never seen before. By the way, Christians, our extraordinary God wants to use you and I as ordinary people to do extraordinary things through his power. But we've got to recognize the call, just like Abraham, as an ordinary person. There was nothing extraordinary about Abraham's life until he responded to God. Once he responded to God, all sorts of extraordinary things happened. Nothing extraordinary about Moses. Until he submitted to God. Nothing extraordinary about David until David surrendered. Nothing extraordinary about Joshua. And on I go. all the biblical characters, nothing extraordinary about them until they surrendered as an ordinary person to an extraordinary God. And he took their lives, and you and I have the rest of it pinned down in the Word of God. Why? To show what you and I can be in God's extraordinary power. I don't know about you, but I want to be used this year. Our goal then is to say, God, how do you want to use me? And listen for his call. And be ready to be real. You got to be like the David said, hey, look, is there not a cause? You got to be like David. Who am I that you would want to use me? And then God will say, that's the type of person I can use. If you come and say, Lord, I'm a good catch. I know you want to use me. He'll probably not use you anytime soon until he sends you through some courses. What is that? Ego pride courses. And he has a good way of graduating you very successfully. But if you come humble, saying, God, I don't have anything to offer. Give me extraordinary power and then use me. God will use you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation that you would be glorified in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and looking around. There's an extraordinary call to ordinary people. Do you recognize the call today? Perhaps God's calling you to be saved. He loves you. Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friend, if you're not sure that heaven is your home, why don't you let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved today. I want to take a few moments of your time, but you have to recognize God's call on your life. And you have to recognize that you need to be saved. And that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you have to surrender to that call. I don't know where you're at today, Christian. But I do know this. The same way God used Abraham and David, Moses, and so many others, he wants to use you. You say, but what does he want to use me for? I don't know. But God does. You just surrender. Recognize he's calling you. And be real in your conduct. Step out. Launch out. Reckon with the company. Say, look, I'm not turning back. I know choices and challenges and changes involved, but step out. Wherever you're at, God wants to use you today. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let us help you. I would like to see you come and know Christ as Savior. God would love nothing more than to see you saved. Father, bless now these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed and looking around. As the music plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come. And let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Why don't you just leave your spot right where you're at. Come down. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we get a man to show you. If you're a woman, we get a woman to show you. But the choice has got to be yours. You've got to say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you show me how I can be saved? Man, woman, boy, or girl, God loves you and he wants to save you today. But you've got to come. You've got to come. The altar's open. Christian, perhaps you'd be like Abraham and say, when God calls, I want to recognize his voice. I want my conduct to be real. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, when you call, I want to make sure that I recognize your voice. Make it crystal clear that it's you. Lord, I want my conduct to be real. Make it crystal clear that God is the one that you want to follow. Or maybe the company needs to be reckoned with. Maybe it's somebody you need to talk to and say, look, I'm following God. I'm following him. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God knows. Let him speak to your heart. Your commitment is going to be rewarded. God will do in your life what only he can do. But you must recognize. You must be real. You must reckon. Let God speak to your heart. God can do the impossible with your life, but you've got to surrender it. God can do the unthinkable, but you've got to let him. God can bless, but you've got to let him bless.
God can do, but you've got to let him do. God's not going to force you to do anything against your will. He didn't force Abraham. He just said, Abraham, go, and I'll bless you. And Abraham went, and God blessed. Where are you at today? 2019 can open up doors of opportunity that you never have experienced before. 2019 can bring blessings that you've never had before. 2019 can do for you what you have never seen done before. But you got to recognize God's call. Have conduct that's real. Have your company reckoned with. I'm going to have to make some choices. Maybe some challenges. Maybe some changes that we're going to have to go through. But oh, the commitment will be rewarded. Perhaps one of the things you need to do this year is get baptized. You've been saved. But you've never surrendered for baptism. Baptism doesn't save, but it is the first step of obedience. Maybe you need to surrender for baptism. Say, preacher, I've been saved. I'm scripturally born again, but I have never been saved or submerged since I've been saved. Maybe that's you today. Would you come? Perhaps you need to join this church. You've already been baptized. You're already saved. You've never joined. Maybe God's calling you to join. Launch out. Step out. Perhaps you're already a member of this church. Maybe God's going to call you to do something extraordinary this year. Maybe a huge sum of money he's going to give through you. Maybe a tremendous ministry he's going to have you do. Maybe a multitude of souls are going to be discipled and taught by you. Perhaps he's going to have you sing like you've never sang before. Perhaps he's going to have you minister like you've never ministered before. Perhaps he's going to have you to serve like you've never served before. I don't know what it is, but I know this, that when you recognize God's call, have real conduct and step out. Reckon with the company and say, Lord, use me. And do extraordinary things with me and let him do what only he can do. Father, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for the life of Abraham and how, Lord, he has stood the test of times before us in Scripture. Both Old and New Testaments give testimony of his greatness through being surrendered as an ordinary person to be extraordinarily used of God. Lord, thank you for that example that we can have before us. Lord, I do pray that each one of us really are looking inside our hearts and magnifying the Word of God to our own souls that we might see the call. Recognize it. And Lord, understand what you would have us to do. Lord, I have no doubt that you want to use each and every one of us in a marvelous and miraculous way. I have no doubt in my mind that you will use us if we just recognize the call. Lord, help us to surrender, to do whatever it is that you would have us to do with your extraordinary power. Not that men can say how great we are, but how greatly extraordinary you are. And how your power has been mightily used through us. There's nothing that we've done, but all glory should go to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for using us. Thank you for saving me, my family, my wife. And Lord, thank you for using us these many years. Lord, I know you want to use us a little bit more in 2019. Help us to be aware of what it is you'd have us to do and surrender to it, that extraordinary things can be done through ordinary people. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's going to come and with our announcement. Oh, he's in the nursery. Brother Hall, he had to run to the nursery.